The public will have its say before Victoria implements any substantial changes to the city's parking policy and infrastructure. At a September 4 Victoria Council Committee of the Whole meeting, staff made several major recommendations in a 27-page report that will shape the downtown's future of transportation and development. Addressing what staff labeled as misinformation circulating in the community, the team emphasized they do not foresee the recommendations creating any significant changes to street parking in downtown, and that the number of downtown parking stalls will remain market-driven. "This is not a war on cars or a no-cars policy," staff said. "This is not a policy that is removing parking. This is a flexible approach, a choice for developers." Recommendations include expanding meter parking beyond the downtown core, creating a new parkade outside of downtown, and modernizing how on-street parking is managed in residential areas. One of the most discussed recommendations was bylaw changes, which would provide flexibility for developers on vehicle parking. Staff propose a transportation demand management, TDM, program that would reduce reliance on vehicle parking by offering alternative transportation options, such as enhanced bike parking, transit passes, and car share memberships. It would be standardized in regulations instead of negotiated on a case-by-case basis, saving time and cost for applicants. This could reduce construction costs as parking stalls can cost up to $250,000 each, the report said. Additionally, a new cash-in-lieu program would let developers pay a fee instead of building parking stalls. Funds raised from the program would go toward transportation infrastructure such as bike, pedestrian, or transit improvements. "This won't lower the cost of housing. It'll lower the cost of construction of that housing," said Cowan. Chris Coleman, arguing that council needs to ensure there is a mechanism in place so that the saved costs flow down to the renter or buyer. Finally, staff recommended introducing a parking maximum to prevent oversupply and support broader transportation, climate, and urban forest objectives. There were several reasons given for the new approach, including streamlining the development approval process and reducing construction costs for affordable rental and family housing. Cowan, Susan Kim said the plan moves towards a new ecosystem, increasing sustainable and active transportation options. Cowan, Matt Dell said it is part of a vision of creating smaller, walkable villages. The staff report noted that 25% of households have no access to a vehicle, which rises to a rate of 41% for households downtown. Car ownership within Victoria is trending downwards, with the latest figures showing an average of 1.02 vehicles per household, the staff report said. Several council members noted that a growing number of cities across North America have already eliminated parking minimums in their downtowns. "When it comes to parking reform, we're not really a leader," said Jeremy Caradona, noting a list of cities that have already done so. While council ultimately unanimously voted for staff to carry out focused stakeholder engagement, various councillors raised questions and concerns. Those included whether or not tradespeople would find easy, efficient parking and how bordering neighborhoods would be impacted by spillover effects as people seek parking farther from downtown. There were also concerns about how the proposed changes would affect those who don't find cycling or busing convenient or possible, and what would happen if there was a loss in the ability to accommodate surge parking. It was also noted that it could be 18 months before a broader plan from BC Transit would become available. Staff will now reach out to four general groups: transportation providers, the development industry, arts and business groups focused on the downtown areas, and housing providers. For those not included in those groups who want to make their opinions known, staff said they envisage setting up a website with information where the public can ask questions and provide comments. There would also be a public hearing before any bylaw amendments could be adopted. Information will also be provided to the public in the city's fall 2025 newsletter sent to every household. "The public will be all over the place on this one, is my suspicion," Coleman said.